Grace to you all and peace from God in heaven and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You're going to have to indulge me today. If you call a historian as your pastor, every once in a while you're going to get a boring historical sermon. You're just going to have to stick with me for a moment. It's January of 1920. World War I has resulted in incomprehensible death. Nearly 9 million soldiers, not to mention the countless civilian casualties. It has also robbed the world of its optimism. Just 10 years earlier, more than 1,200 representatives of Protestant churches and missionary societies had gathered in Edinburgh, Scotland, to articulate a grand vision, evangelizing the whole world in this generation. After the war, that seemed absurd. Perhaps God had forsaken this whole world, left us to the mud and the blood and the trenches. In Paris, Fitzgerald and Hemingway and Stein are articulating the disillusioned spirit of this new age for the so-called lost generation. Put on a record, have another drink. Life is fleeting and void of purpose. And in Minnesota, a small group of Lutherans in January decided this is the moment to start a church. Nice timing is something of which Lutherans have never been accused. When so much of the world had succumbed to hopelessness, when so many young people had given up on the future, this tiny would-be congregation somehow clung to their bright hope for tomorrow. Let us for a moment go much, much further back to the 6th century BC, to a time when Israel's world is turned upside down and torn apart, the temple, the very dwelling place of Yahweh, destroyed. The line of kings descended from David ended, and puppets of Egypt and Babylon placed on the throne. And the people, taken into exile, as they had been long ago in Egypt, now in Babylon, and no Moses in sight. In the midst of that suffering, some prophets attempted to speak comfort. The Lord hath unto me said, this is basically over. But those were empty promises. The prophet Jeremiah heard a different, truer word from the Lord. Settle in. Make a home. Plant a garden. Get married. Make babies. You're going to be here for a while. Oof, that was a hard word. The people wanted their exile in a strange land to be over. They wanted to go home, back to where God resided with them. But Jeremiah's was a good word. You are home. And God is always with you, wherever you are. Even better, God's blessings are still yours, even when your worldly circumstances seem like a curse. Even in Babylon, you can plant trees and enjoy the fruit God brings forth. Even in Babylon, the promises God made to Abraham still apply. You will be fruitful and multiply. Even when all seems hopeless, God's promises endure, and we are reminded that we always have a future in God. We can and should plant, whether it's a tree or a church. Well, what's our current situation? Mount Olivet's founding generation had the aftermath and ennui of World War I. Ancient Judah had the Babylonian exile. What do we face? What would threaten to rob us of our hope? Is there anything you can think of? Maybe if we put our heads together. Well, how about the looming death of the Lutheran Church? Stick with me, I promise. I can get you back to centennial party mode, but the next few seconds are going to be pretty bleak. From 2000 to 2018, the ELCA, that's our denomination, just in Minnesota, lost more than 200,000 members and more than 150 churches closed their doors. One third of the remaining 1,000 or so churches had fewer than 50 members. And I bet they weren't spring chickens. How many of them do you think might have closed their doors in the 5 or so years since that report? Some statistical models predict the functional end of this denomination on a national scale by the time our cherub choir kids, that's the white robes and the red bows, the littles, by the time they graduate from college. That's a generation. So, I have opened an Etsy shop. I'm selling my stoles online. These are vintage and handmade. Get out while the getting's good. No, of course not. We cling to our hope. And you should plant yourself here. Put down roots and trust in God to bring forth good fruit through you and for you. And guess what? Your hope would be well justified. And this is where we enter into the shamelessly rah-rah portion of the sermon. Because God is and has been up to something here at Mount Olivet for a long time. This congregation has, without a doubt, exceeded the wildest, giddiest hopes of its founders. Now, to be fair, early 20th century Lutherans in Minnesota were famously not giddy, but still, they could never have dreamed of this. But God could, and God continues to dream. While other churches are struggling to make ends meet, Mount Olivet has been able to share from its enormous bounty and serve more than 250,000 meals to the hungry over the past 3 years. While other churches have vanishingly small youth groups, we are preparing to send nearly 200 high schoolers on a choir trip to California. That's remarkable. They're going to think we're some sort of institutional oddity, like the Mormon Tabernacle. While other churches worry that as this generation enters into the joy of heaven, there will be no one left to replace them and take over the institutions they've built and maintained, we're preparing to welcome more than 2,000 kids up to camp this summer. Just think about Christmas Eve a few weeks back. It was pandemonium. At the first service alone, the worshipers numbered more than half of all who worshipped at all the services combined last Christmas. We're going to have to build a balcony. Why is this happening here? The answer is simple. World class, world renowned preaching. I'm happy that you laughed. I love laughter, but it feels a little rude and personal. Of course, that's not the case. I firmly believe that you can lose members and momentum with preaching, but you can't bring them in. Instead, this is happening here because generation after generation has maintained the hope that God's blessings would endure. And so they planted this church over and over and over again. And now you're up. And the Holy Spirit is continuing that generational work through each of you whom God has rooted and is rooting here. You are part of something very special. Caretakers and fellow workers in one of God's great gardens in this age. God has been faithful to this place, and today especially, let us be grateful. Amen.